I think of this, I think it's a clothing line. They make hats, they make pants, they make shirts, and the name of it is probably thinking, you forgot, Pastor Dave, you forgot? No, no. The name of it is No Fear. The gospel reading, I want to direct your attention to it because it's powerful. Let's go ahead and look at it. Matthew 28, 20, and behold, would you read this with me? And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Today we're going to be talking about fear. And we just sang so powerfully and wonderfully that our fear is dispelled because we stand on the rock. And that is so incredibly true. I'm 62 years old now, and I got to admit, I don't have as many fears in life as I used to have. One of my fears that I've shared with you before is insecurity. I really struggle sometimes with criticism, inordinately so, obnoxiously so. But it doesn't bother me as much as it used to bother me. I think I'm stronger in the Lord now. I continue to mature. God's not done with me yet. But a very real fear I have, even more than that, is something that 35 years ago, I wasn't frightened of at all. As a matter of fact, I used to be a painter in college, and I would climb ladders, and I would be on the roof, and I would paint, you know, dormers off the side. I'd literally hang off the roof, and it didn't scare me a bit. Now to climb up a ladder 5 feet, 10 feet above the ground, I'm shaking, you know, my son has to come out and hold it. You know, the ladder is literally shaking because my knees are shaking. It's a real fear of mine. What are your fears? Maybe some of you, as a young student, you're thinking, you know, my biggest fear in life is what am I going to do the rest of my life? I have no idea what kind of career I'm going to choose, and that kind of scares me since I don't have an idea. Some of you have financial fears. Will I be a success in my career? Will we be able to make ends meet and pay our bills? Will I have enough money for retirement? Or will my life outlast the money? Some of you here today have physical fears. You're afraid of being diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. Or maybe you've already been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. And the fear of death is very, very real. Some of us here today who really are dedicated to our loved ones, and last week I talked about idolatry, remember that? How many of you were here last week? We talked about idolatry in our lives, and I said that my idol oftentimes is my wife and my kids and my son. Yeah, here's one of my big fears, and maybe your big fear too. What happens if my wife is called home before I am, or the Lord tragically would call my son home? It scares me to death. And some of us are dealing with that today. That is a very real fear. Some of you here today are afraid that maybe God doesn't even exist. Or if he does exist, that your sins are so great, your transgressions so large, that God can't even cover that particular sin that you're thinking of, that you think is so grievous, and you feel so much shame and remorse and guilt, and oh, the guilt is just overwhelming. You sometimes wonder, if there really is a God, can he really forgive even that particular sin? And still others of you here today wonder, is heaven really real? Is it really a real place? Can I be certain that when I die, I'm going to go there? I'm not sure. I'm not certain. And that scares me. And some of you here today are at odds with someone in your life. Someone that you used to be close to. It could be a son or a daughter or a parent. It could be a cousin. It could be a boss or an employee. It could be a friend that you thought would be there the rest of your days. And now something has happened. And there's division between you. And you're wondering, and you're afraid that you'll never be reconciled to that person again. And that scares you. What is your biggest fear in life? I'm going to pause here for about 10 seconds, and I want you just to think about after I'm done talking here in just a sec, I want you to think about what is your biggest fear in life. And I want you to think, as you identify what that fear is, know that Jesus already knows all about it. Ready? Go. Fear is a very real emotion. It's a very real part of life. And the disciples in our text had great fear as Jesus gave this thing we call the Great Commission. He told them to evangelize the world, to tell millions of people about him, to talk about his kingdom, to share the gospel, to see people's hearts changed. There were just a few of them and so many to reach. Now you think about the disciples. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. 365 days a year for 3 years, 24/7. Every morning they could wake up and wonder, what's Jesus going to do today? What incredible teachings are we going to hear today? What fabulous miracles are we going to witness today? I get to hang out with the Son of God today and hopefully forever. What's going to happen? How will Jesus rescue us today? How will he save the day? Will he still the storm again? Will he feed 5,000 again with couple loaves of bread and some fish? Will he raise a dead person? What are we going to see? What are we going to witness? And I believe they thought that that would go on for much more than just 3 years. But now, seemingly, Jesus was going to leave them alone. The end of his ministry was coming. And they could see the handwriting on the wall. And they had very real fears. They were discouraged, they were perplexed, and they were afraid, knowing indeed that Jesus seemingly was going to leave them all alone. And you might be wondering, what in the world were the fears that they were facing? What were they? Here they are. First of all, they were afraid of the Romans. And do you know why they were afraid of the Romans? Because the Romans said there's only one God, and it's the emperor. And if you don't worship the emperor, you're put to death. They were afraid of that, understandably so. The second fear they had was of the Jews, the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders wanted to persecute Christians. The Jewish leaders did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, do you know what? The disciples huddled in fear, got behind closed doors, locked the doors, shut the room, because they were afraid they were going to be apprehended and put to death. That was a very real fear. And now finally, Jesus looks at them. He says, I've been with you for 3 years. There's millions to reach. There's 12 of you, 11 of you. I want you to go and make disciples of the entire planet. And I believe he stopped right there for dramatic effect. Could look at the angst etched on their faces, could see the disconsolate spirit of their hearts as they were wondering and perplexed by the thought, how are we going to win the world for Jesus? And just like me on the ladder, I think they might have been like this. You know, just shuddering in fear. And Jesus could see it, and Jesus could perceive it. And he gave them exactly what they needed to hear, and we need to hear it today. Do you know what it is? Do you know what great promise dispels every fear of our life? It's this one. Don't miss it. Lo! I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world. Now you might be saying, well, that's a promise for them, but not for me. No way. That's a promise they could claim and embrace, but not me. No way. That promise is for every one of you here today. And I want to tell you, the times when you've distrusted that promise and you were riddled and gripped by fear, that's why Jesus went to the cross. You know what fear is? Listen to this. It's a lack of trust in the promises of God. Did you hear that? Fear is a lack of trust in the promises of God. It's not taking God at his word, not believing that he can deliver on what he's promised. It's a sin. Fear is a sin. Somebody told me today that there's 365 fear nots in the word of God. How many days are there in the year? What? 365. So we have the promise of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for every day of the year. And for the times when we fear and distrust God, Jesus went to the cross and he paid once and for all for that sin and all the sins of our life. It was our fear and our lack of fully trusting God that nailed Jesus to the cross. And here's the thing, he died for it. And because he died for it and he paid the penalty for it, now God offers unconditional love and forgiveness to you because of what Jesus has done. So if you've confessed your fears today, if you've said, I don't fully trust God like I should, here's what I want to declare to you today, that your sins, including that sin of a lack of fully trusting God, that sin is covered by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. For the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from just a few sins. Is that what it says? Well, the blood of Christ covers me for lust and gossip and idolatry, but not distrust. That's not covered. I want you to embrace the words that Jesus died for every sin of our life, every disappointment, every frustration, every failure, every lack of trust. It's all covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now here's the amazing thing. You are robed in the righteousness, purity, holiness, perfection of Christ. That sin of distrust nailed to the cross, God's grace comes to you, but not only that, the ever-going, ongoing presence of Jesus in every fear you face in everyday life. He's there to take it away. If you feel misdirection regarding what you're going to do with the rest of your life, Jesus said, I will bless and I will guide and I will lead. Don't worry about it. If you have financial fears today, fear of paying your bills, fear of making ends meet, fear of being a success, fear of not having enough money in your retirement, the Lord says, I will provide all your needs according to the riches and abundance of my grace. Does that take away your fear today? Any of you afraid of finances today? Jesus says, I've got it covered. I'll take care of you. You're afraid of losing someone? Or you're afraid of dying yourself because of some disease that maybe has been diagnosed in your life? Jesus said, I'll give you strength and see you through. You can depend on me. Some of you are wondering and questioned, does God's love really cover all of my sins? And I want to say without reservation, absolutely. Your sin is covered by the blood of Christ and your sins are forgiven. And so you don't need to fear guilt and shame and remorse and feel separation from God. Jesus Christ was separated from God the Father on that cross so that his presence, his love, his peace, and his pardon is continually upon you today. And the certainty of heaven, you can be absolutely certain you're going to be with Jesus the moment you die. Why? Because Jesus died. Jesus rose. He defeated death. You don't need to be afraid of that either. And finally, if there's a relationship in your life that is severed and you have real doubts whether you'll ever be reconciled to that person again, let Jesus Christ and his presence and security be your all in all. That relationship may never be healed, but Christ is your source of strength, and Christ is your source of identity, and your peace and joy and freedom and love and acceptance and happiness in life is not determined by other people. It's determined by who you are in God's eyes, the identity you have in Jesus Christ. And your identity is riveted in Christ. And because of that, you can say, I'm a child of God. No matter what happens to me in life, his love is upon me. His grace will see me through. He declares me righteous in his sight for the fact that Jesus died for me. And because Jesus died for you, you are a child of God, and that's where your identity is found. And if you're reconciled to that person, praise be to God. If you're not, and you continue to be at odds, let Christ be your all in all. I shared this illustration many years ago, and I'll share it again today. When my oldest daughter, who's 28 years old, was three, she and I were on the same team playing hide-and-seek in our house in El Paso, Texas. And we would darken the house at night so it was pitch dark, and we would look for each other all over the house in pitch darkness. It was a blast. It was awesome. And she and I were always on the same team. And so I would take her to a little room, and I'd say, honey, you stay here. I don't want to be near you right now because I don't want them to find me. You stay here. I'll go on the other side of the room, and everything will be fine. And after about 30 seconds, I'd hear this little peepsy voice of faith say, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? And I'd tiptoe over there. And I'd get down right next to her. She couldn't see me because it was pitch dark. And I'd say, honey, listen to my voice. Take my hand. I'm right here. In the middle of your fears, does God say the very same thing to you today? Take my hand. Listen to my voice. I'll take away your fear. I am right here. So you might be thinking, well, Pastor Dave, that's all fine and good. I know that Jesus is with me in the storms of life and the fears of life. You know, I know that he was with the disciples and that cast out fear, but what do I do with all this stuff? This is where I encourage you to get out your news and notes. Do it real quick if you have them with you, okay? If you have your news and notes, get them out, and I encourage you to write these four things down. This is life application points to help us deal with everyday life and the fears that come our way, okay? Here's the first one. Life application points on fear. First one is trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Either you're going to be shuddering in fear or you're going to trust in the Lord. Either you're going to be focused on the anxieties of life or you're going to say, Lord Jesus, you're going to see me through and I trust you implicitly. Remember we said that the opposite of fear is trust. Now, have you guys noticed that because the sin nature clings to us, we still struggle with fear every once in a while? Have you noticed that? How many of you have noticed that? You know, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Dave. I'm going to walk out of here without fear, but that fear is going to hit me in the face the moment I leave the double doors of the church. I get that. But here's what I want you to understand, okay? Because you believe in Christ, and because you have this relationship with God, do you know what your fear quotient is on a scale of 1 to 10 versus those that don't know Christ? Those that don't know Christ, their fear quotient might be out of 10, an 8. Yours is more like a 2 or 3. Right? Can I get an amen? Can you imagine if you faced whatever fear comes your way in life all by yourself without a relationship with God? You know what that is? That's frightening. Right? So here's what I'm saying. If you struggle with fear, so do I. If you have a hard time, you trust in God, you're frightened, you trust in God, you're frightened, you kind of go back and forth, that's life. That's the way we all are. But what I'm saying is Jesus is calling to you in the midst of your fear saying, trust me implicitly. Trust in me implicitly in the face of them. Secondly, focus. Don't focus on your fear or whatever is producing it. Focus on the presence of God. When fear comes your way, think, okay, I'm not going to focus on and fix my eyes and attention on that. I'm going to fix my eyes and attention and focus on Jesus who's present with me in the face of this. When David was facing, how many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Did you notice the great courage he had? He didn't focus on the giant. He focused on the giant killer. Amen? Who's the giant killer? Who's Jesus? He didn't focus, he didn't look, he didn't shudder in fear and say, oh my goodness, look at how big that guy is. Look at how large that armor is. Look at how strong he is. Look at those guns on that dude, man. He is ripped. Did he say that? He said, you fight in the name of the Philistine army. I fight in the name of Almighty God, and you can claim that very same thing today. Don't fix your eyes on the giant. Fix your eyes on the giant killer. Don't fix your eyes on the mountains in front of you. Fix your eyes on the mountain mover. So we're talking about focus there. So trust the Lord in the midst of all your fears. Focus not on your fears, but focus on the one who is present in the midst of your fears. The third one, cast out. Tell fear to get out of your life. Who is the author of fear? If Jesus Christ is the author of faith in what he's done, the author of fear in your life is Satan. And the Bible says, as Pastor Tim said in his opening, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Who is a lurking lion looking for someone to devour? It's Satan. But you have the presence of Jesus inside of you, and so you tell Satan to take a hike, get out of your life. Your life is founded and grounded and riveted to Christ. So cast out Satan. Tell him to get out of your life. Tell him to quit working with you and manipulating you and controlling you and trying to fill you with fear. Tell him literally, Satan, get out of my life. I belong to Jesus, and he is my source of strength. And finally, talk. Talk to who? Talk to other Christians who've been through stuff. Talk to folks in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who have faced some big fears in life, but God got them through. Those stories that you hear from other Christians will encourage you. There's people, when I'm overwhelmed with fear, whatever it is, I talk to people who have been through what I've been through. And you know what they say? Their stories inspire me. What they say spurs me on. What they point me to is a providential care of God. And I love to talk to older Christians who've been around for a while and said, yeah, I used to be afraid of that, but Jesus took it away. I'm looking at your faces. And some of you are looking at me with a lot of consternation. I'm not sure I buy this stuff. I wish I could just randomly ask somebody like Chuck. Chuck, you guys don't know Chuck, but he is an awesome man of God. He lost his wife, what, how long ago, Chuck? 8 years? Every Sunday. I'm trying to make this as relevant as I can, guys, because I think some of you guys just don't buy it. But every Sunday, Chuck comes through the doors. He's got a smile on his face. And he says stuff like, the Lord is my strength. I think of Bob, who's been through some tough stuff in his life, has lost parents, has gone through some heartache at work. But he knows that the Lord Jesus is the source of his strength. I think of Art, who retired. What? How long ago, Art? 10 years. He's old, man. He's really old. Okay. 10 years. Man, the guy is a rock star for Jesus. He's faced some difficult things, but Christ has been his foundation. I look back over my life, and I've been through some stuff too. Not as much as some of you. But I look back on it and I say, how did I not just get overwhelmed with fear and just kind of give up on life? It's Christ. St. Paul said it so powerfully when he said, I can do all things through my own strength and volition. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who lives in me. And as a result of that, no fear. How many of you have seen the movie E.T.? okay? Just about all of you have, okay? Steven Spielberg, this was kind of his breakthrough. Jaws actually was his first breakthrough movie. But this one got a lot of awards, and, you know, people thought, what an amazing story. Some people said back then, this is the greatest story ever told. Do you know where? And I'm not sure we can really trace this, but that story of E.T. is 2,000 years old. He copied it from the life of Jesus, I believe. E.T. came, lived with folks, did amazing things, performed miracles, died, came back to life. Does this sound familiar? Hung out for a while, was ready to leave, told his friend Elliot, pointing to his heart, I'll be right here. Jesus points to you today in the face of every fear of your life, and he says the very same thing. I'll be right here. Jesus said it best when he said these words. Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And you know what that word does? It drives away your fears. Walk out of this place today saying, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I walk in his strength. I walk with his blessing. I walk with his integrity. And I walk with his presence. And that takes away my fears. Amen?